So I'm preaching today, and actually, like, today I'm just going to be kind of talking to you. I'm going to do it in a different way than I normally do it, just because I just feel like this subject is so, like, having coffee with your sister kind of a subject. So I'm going to be talking about Grace for the Journey is the name of it, but it's, like, connecting the dots on God's dreams in your life. So, like, God fulfilling God dreams in your life, like him doing things in your life that are so beyond you, things that you could never have planned out yourself. So we're going to be talking about that today, and it's a very appropriate thing. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this subject, God. I thank you for how it's impacted my life so greatly, God. Seeing stories of people, God, like doing great things for you, God, and how you've done that in my own life, God. You've done so much more than I could have ever done on my own, and I just thank you for that, God. I pray for each person in the room that they would be the same way. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So my name is Winter. I've been going to James River Church for 7+ years. And I've known Av and Jeff for 13 years. Pastor Jeff, he led me to the Lord 13 years ago. So that was awesome, celebrating 13 years. That's a long time for me doing stuff. It's awesome. Been in love with Jesus from day one, radical, because why not, right? If you're going to love Jesus, do it, you know, like just be radical for him. Why not? And I'm married to Chad, and I have two handsome sons, and they're watching me. Nate wasn't supposed to, but he got in a little bit of trouble, so he gets to watch me today. I'm really excited about that. He's so cute. He's probably embarrassed. He's like, don't talk about me. Sorry. I'm working on this thing. All right. They're awesome. I love them with all my heart. Jesus first and then them. They're perfect in every way. I'm talking about you, too. Yeah, you're them, you know. You're my men. You're here. These are my men. So So I love stories of normal people doing amazing things. Like, I love it. Like, I'm the one, like, watching YouTube videos of moms giving birth, like birth stories, like the TLC, like a birthing story. They're just, like, normal people doing normal things, like giving birth. And I'm like, oh, I just love their story and how it happened. And, like, I just get sucked into the people's stories. Like, I can watch, like, adoption stories, like the ones where they pick up kids from China, these moms do. And I just sit there and cry hysterically every time. I'm like, oh, they got a baby. I'm like, you know what's going to happen. Like, they're going to go adopt a baby, take it home. That's the story. But I just, like, cry and cry. I just love stories of people's lives. I love reality TV. I could just sit there and watch that all day long and, like, feel like I have to repent after the end of it because I, like, just sat there and watched TV all day because Netflix is just sucks you in and never lets you out. So just love reality TV so much. It's just interesting to me. People's lives are so fascinating. I love people. I remember a time when I was about 17, and there was this girl. She was 3 years older than me. She's actually now my sister-in-law. Her name is Lacey, and, like, I remember hearing that she just moved to town, and she was living in Mexico for the last 2 years, and she decided to graduate high school early so she can go be a missionary in Mexico. And then I found out that she was only 3 years older than me, and I was like, oh, I'm so jealous. Like, I want to be like that. I want to be radical for Jesus. And I remember telling my youth pastor that, and she's like, see, this is what happened when God gets involved in the dreams of your life. And it just changes, like, what you could do in the natural. And Lacey, like, for instance, she was, like growing up, she was, like, actually had some mental issues. Like, she tried to kill Chad in his sleep, different things. Like, their family had some struggles. Like, she really did. And she talks about it now. And she's like, if anyone's met Lacey, she's, like, the most normal person in the world. But God came in and, like, changed everything in her life. And she just did radical things. She, like, a missionary in Mexico, graduated school early, which is impossible. Like, she could not have done that without God. So it's just, like, I love stories about that. When, like, God comes into a normal person's life, and just, like, breaks loose. And, like, you see the dreams of God in that person's life happen, and they do far more than they ever could have done on their own. It's amazing. It's amazing to see. I love seeing it happen. And so we're just all going to just sit around the story. I'm going to tell a story today. It's going to be an adoption story. I'm going to tell you guys my story about adopting my two men here, these boys right here. So it's a really... In my life, it has been so pivotal what God could do through my life, through adopting these boys. He has loved me so well through this experience. And so let's talk about it. So It started way a long time ago. So 10 years ago now. This is when God started me on the road. I feel like maybe he even knew that I was going to adopt these specific boys at this time in my life, because it's so weird and so freaky how it all came together. And I just feel like it has to be God. Otherwise, it's just not a coincidence how things work. Like, when you look back at your life and you're like, that wasn't a coincidence. Like, God was like, his footprint was all over that. So when I graduated high school, I had this huge plan of going to Bible college at Central Bible College in Missouri. And I applied, I got in, I had it all set up. I even went down there and visited the school. It was a great school. I was going to be a missionary. I was going to do the missionary track 4 years. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, halfway through the summer or something, like, I was like, I'm not going to go to college. Like, I just felt like God's like, you're not going to go to college. I'm like, I'm not going to go to college. That's so weird. Like, I always thought my whole life, I'm going to go to college. That's what you do. You graduate. You go to college. That's what Americans do, right? You've even shoved that into our face our whole life. You must go to college to be successful. And so I was like, okay, I'm not going to college, but what am I going to do, God? And he's like, I want you to go visit Ukraine and be a youth pastor in Pierre. That's where I was living. So I was a youth pastor for a year, and then I was also took a missionary trip to Ukraine. I led a team of people to Ukraine. That's how me and Chad got into contact with each other even more. It's sweet. I was in love with the missionary. All right, so I want to show you some pictures from my first trip to Ukraine. So Alex is a super team player. If he wasn't here today, we wouldn't have pictures. So in Ukraine, there is a bunch of kids that don't have homes. They're called orphans and don't have families. Imagine that. This is one of the kids in the baby hospital right near my house, like right in front of us. We went there every morning and we loved on these kids. I went there to preach the gospel, but I was pleasantly surprised by how I fell in love. I actually loved being in Ukraine so much. I went back again 2 times. I had 2 6-month stays in Ukraine. Let's show the second picture. So the second time, these kids right here is why I came back the second time. It was a handicap orphanage. So it was an orphanage. So none of these kids have parents. On top of that, they all have mental illness. So you know that they have been abandoned by their parents through lots of terrible circumstances. This is Karina. Do you know that, Chad? That's cute. Isn't she cute? She was really small back then. So we had a superhero day at the orphanage, and that's why we look ridiculous. This is one of my besties there. So we dressed up as superheroes, and God is the good guy. So I went to Ukraine. I did that twice. And then after that, I went to Bible school, and then God, like, burned on my heart orphans. Like, that's what happened from Ukraine. He, like, put orphans in my heart, and like I could not like get away from it. Like, I needed to be a mother. Every single time I got a prophetic word, it was like, you're a mother to nations, you're gonna be a mother to nations, you're gonna be like Heidi Baker and like all these things. So I felt like Ukraine to me was like, that's where it started happening. That's when it birthed. Like, you can't go into a orphanage where there's handicapped kids and like walk away the same person. Like, and I did not, that did not happen to me. This is probably the hardest orphanage that people go to, because it's just like mentally exhausting to see all these kids where they're at. Then I went to I went to a ministry school at Bethel. You guys probably know a lot about it. It's in California. Just felt like I needed a little more training. So I applied for this mission trip that everyone in the school applied to. It was to go to Mozambique and minister with Heidi Baker, because Heidi Baker at that time was my hero. She's like led half of Mozambique to Jesus by herself, basically. She's, every single time she prays for someone who's deaf, she sees them like hear again. Like, they hear every time, like 100% accuracy. She's legit, and she has like 10,000 churches, and she has orphanages there. So you want to show those next pictures, guys, of Africa. So this is me in Africa. I got to go. I got into the trip. Everybody applied, the whole school, and I got in trip. There's like 10 slots, and 2 people that I consider spiritual parents in my group, they got into the trip too. It's like such a God-ordained thing. They loved kids. They love orphans. You can show the next picture too. So I got to minister to kids they didn't have homes, and also meet. Go ahead and show the last one. Meet Heidi Baker. So that was really cool. It's like a dream come true. She's like Mother Teresa in present day. Like, that's how cool this woman is. So she's really legit. So what I learned through these trips is what true religion is. So, and that's in James. It talks about that true religion is to take care of widows and orphans. And that's all I ever want to do. You can turn the lights on just for a second. We'll come back to that. And then something happened. Chad Lee decided he wanted to marry me. And I said yes. So this guy right here, he asked me to marry him. He was like the guy, in my opinion, that everyone wanted. But maybe I was maybe a little biased because I really liked him. But he would say stuff like this that was really attractive to me. Like, if I'm single and 30, I want to adopt children. And I'm like, I want to marry this guy right now. Like, like that is like so cool. Like, he just really wanted to adopt kids super bad. We were actually engaged for just literally 2 months. We never dated before that. We just got engaged. We were just friends and got engaged. So it just happens that way. I don't really know if it's like the right thing to do, but I liked how it happened to me. So we got engaged, and 2 months, we weren't even living in the same town at the time. He calls me, and like, there's this huge earthquake in Haiti, and he was like, they need people to adopt kids in Haiti. And I was like, yeah, that's awesome. Let's pray about it. And he's like, no, we got to go to Haiti and adopt kids right now. And I'm like, we're not even married, you know, like, so like, just had a heart for kids and orphans. Cause he also lived in Ukraine too. And it's like, God was totally writing our story. Like, even back then, like, I just saw it. Like, he was writing our story. He asked me to marry him, and he's like, I was like super surprised that he asked me to marry him, for one. But like, he asked me, and I was like, okay, I'll marry you, but I need two things. These are like deal breakers for me. One was kind of shallow. I really wanted to go to Hawaii for a honeymoon because I really like Hawaii. So, and he said yes, so that was good. And then I would have still married you. And the second one is a deal breaker for sure. I was like, I really want to adopt a girl from China, like a child from China, specifically a girl. And so those were like, we have to do that no matter what. And he was like, okay, we can do that. Like, he was all for it. He loved kids. He loved orphans. He loved kids so much. And so we were like all about that. So we got married. It was awesome. And then shortly after that, we took another trip to Ukraine, just the two of us together. It was an interesting trip because we were married now. And I really saw, like, God do something inside of us, take on that mother and father role as we went to these orphanages. And I just saw God building something into us. I feel like maybe even that trip is like when we became parents, because like these kids really broke our hearts. And it was more fun to be with your spouse and communicate. Like, when you're single, like, you don't really understand the gravity of their situation. But when you're married and you can actually do something about it, like, then you understand like the gravity of these kids' situation. And we felt like we should do something about it. It was really hard for us to minister there. And also, the one place that Chad always ministered to when we were there is like a boys' home. It's like a boys' rehab home from kids that do drugs, specifically boys, the little boys that do drugs from 7 to like 13. And we ministered there all the time. So we're having coffee together. Talking really fast. That's why my mouth's getting dry. So he ministered there all the time, and so did I. We loved it there. He played soccer with those boys all the time. They had a lot of problems, though, like a ton of problems. I mean, if you can imagine little boys, they have been strung out on drugs that are like 7 to 13. We love that place so much. So let me show you a couple of pictures of that place. So this is Ukraine, part 2. Something weird happened when we left the boys' home the second time. We came back and they let girls into the boys' home. So that was really fun for me. They're like, I don't know why they're there, but they also had major drug issues. But all these little boys, they were strung out on drugs, and they got sent to this home to be together. This kid right here was such a punk, but we loved him so well. Like, he was just so mean to kids. But we just loved these kids so much. Just love what God did there. Go ahead and show the next picture. Okay, and then something else happened. These are also kids without parents. I just want that to sink in, like, just breaks your heart. If you want to go to Ukraine, do it, because it's really life-changing. This little girl right here, like, her name is Karina. She can't speak, and she has, like, some Down syndrome, and she has, like, an attention span of a goldfish. Like, she like looks at something and then instantly 2 seconds later she does something else. Like playing with her is so exhausting. We do it for like 2 hours and we're like, we're done, we can't be here anymore. Like, so exhausting. But God put her on her heart. And then also go ahead and show the second picture. This little boy right here, this is Chad, isn't that cute? This is Jenya. He called Chad uncle. And Deja, he's really cute. He always just screamed, Deja! And he like run, you know, like to Chad every time he comes in. He loved him so much. And that's when like things started rolling for sure in our lives. Like we're like, we have to adopt like soon. Like we knew it was in our hearts, but we need to adopt. Like there's no way that we could live our lives without adopting children. And God put us in these positions. Like there's leaders in Ukraine pressuring us to minister in churches. And preach and do things like that. And we have those skills, we have those talents, but we really felt like in our heart, like we had to be in these homes with these kids, being parents to them in that season. So that's what we did instead of preaching in churches. So, yeah. All right. You can turn the lights back on. Isn't that cute? That was the cutest photo. Just think it's cute. Makes me miss those kids. So following that, we got back. The next spring, we did foster care classes, and we got accepted to be foster care parents and all that stuff. Something really interesting happened during that time, though. I was in Matt and Melissa's living room, which is funny because he's like my boss, but was at the time. I was in their living room. They have life groups, and afterwards we were talking, and all of a sudden we started encountering God, and I was like laying on their living room floor, and I just felt this like huge, like I feel in God's presence. I was laughing so hard, like it was so good. Like sometimes that just happens, is because God's just crazy. And yeah, I was just laughing so hard, and he like just felt this pressure on my shoulders as I was in their living room. And I heard very clearly like this voice say, and I feel like it was God. He said, "You're gonna birth something great." Like just yell it in my face, like, "You're gonna birth something great." And like I was like, oh my gosh, like this is crazy. Started crying hysterically. Had this crazy God encounter in their living room after life group, which is awesome. Best boss ever award letting me do that. So we applied for foster care, and we didn't get any calls at all. Like nothing was really happening for a long time. Like we didn't get calls at all. So we decided like during that time we're like, we're totally ready to be parents, so why not like try starting to conceive, like maybe we could try having a baby in the meantime while we're waiting to become foster parents. And like we decided to become foster parents before we started to conceive, which everyone says is like backwards, like you need to have your kids first and then your kids need to be older than your foster kids because your foster kids could hurt your older kids and like all this stuff, you know how they like run through that thing with you, like how you need to do it, how do you need to be a parent, how your life can be perfect. And we were just kind of weird, and we decided we wanted to adopt first, so that didn't work, so we decided to start conceiving, and that didn't happen, and something weird happened. Like, a lot of people, there's nothing weird about this, but a lot of people mourn greatly when they can't conceive. Like, I have a friend who, like, gets pregnant really fast, like, they try to have a baby, they do. And then, like, one time they didn't get pregnant, like, the first month, and they were, like, crying hysterically. And I was like, okay, like, how do I help this person right now? Like, I haven't been able to conceive in 2 years or whatever it was. And, like, they are crying. So, like, I'm just, like, I just had so much peace, like, in my heart. I was like, you know what? Like, it's okay. Like, I don't feel sad about this. I want my body to work right. I know it's not God that's causing me to be like this, but, like, I feel so like at peace, like where I am in my life right now. So so that April, so it was literally a year after taking classes, we got a phone call, and God just started connecting all the dots for us. It just kind of all unraveled for us. We got a phone call, and Chad got a phone call in the morning, and then I come home for my lunch break at work. He was a daycare provider at the time, and he was like, towards the middle of the lunch break, he's like, oh my gosh, I forgot to tell you. Like, I remember because I was like, how could you not tell me this? Like, I was so like, ah. Like, okay, they asked him, like, do you want to take in two boys? They're Korean boys, and they're probably going to need to be adopted. Sorry, guys, you're going to be so embarrassed. It's okay. Everyone loves you here, okay? So, like, two Korean boys, and they're probably going to need to be adopted. There's no way they probably won't be able to go back to their parents at this time or ever, just because of the situation. And instantly, I was like, how could you not tell me this until 30 minutes into this? He's like, I don't know, we have a lot going on, because we were always busy at that point. And so it took us about 30 seconds to decide, okay, we're going to adopt these kids. And then the next day, I went home for lunch, and I was like, because the kids were going to come after school the next day. And so I was thinking, they wanted the answer the same day too. So that's how the foster care system works, I guess. So, and it was great, a great experience. Everyone should do it. So they were going to come the next day. So I just called my boss, and I had my lunch break nonchalantly, like, oh, you know, I might need to take a half day, because I'm going to have some kids come to my house and they're probably going to adopt them. He's like, sure, why not? So that was my maternity leave. I took a half day off work. So that was good. That was all I needed. So then I went back to work and made some money. So that's what we had to do. We had two kids living with us. So they came the next day, right after school. And we have been together ever since that day. And it was really weird for all of us, right, guys? They're dying on the inside. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Actually, to be honest with you, we were pretty bad parents at first, just because I took them to Walmart that first day, and I threw away all their clothes, and they threw away their jacket, and for some reason in April, they had a freak snowstorm the next day, and I didn't have a jacket to send them to school with on the first day of school that I had them in my care. It's pretty bad. I should have been taken back to DSS. So, and also I had no idea where they went to school or what time school started. So I made some phone calls. No one could help me. So I took them to school at 7 in the morning just to be sure that they weren't late. And they were like, you can't be here till 7:30 no matter what, ever. And I was like, okay, I'm sorry. I don't know anything. I'm not a mom. how are we supposed to know, right? And then, Augustine had, this birthday, and they do birthdays in the summer, and I'm like, you know, most moms make cupcakes and stuff, and he didn't tell me till that morning, and I didn't know that if your child tells you something in the morning, you aren't supposed to do it because you aren't supposed to cater to their needs. No one told me that, you know, I learned. But so we went to the gas station, we went to the Super X, because that's where we live close to, and we grabbed every single Laffy Taffy they had out of this bin. And there was only 17, and he needed 20, and we just grabbed 3 grandma cookies for the rest of the 3 things they needed. And that was his birthday. Yeah, it was embarrassing. And so that's what you do. And we probably only take a bath at that point 3 times a month. So whatever, don't judge us, okay? We didn't know what we were doing. We didn't have the logistics of being parents, right? And we still rock by them, and they're 9 and 14. So sorry. I coddle my children, and I'm really bad, okay? But I love them. So, we just weren't, really good at that, but the things that mattered, we were super good at that point, because, one, the boys were ESL, and we had the experience, we had the history of working in different nations, and working with kids specifically that had orphan spirits, they from a different culture than us, we couldn't communicate very well. We had to speak what we call dumb English to them, you know, when you only know a few words and we communicate that way. We spoke that way for years living in Ukraine, with kids that had broken English, and we just learned how to live. It was so it just felt right. It wasn't hard. It was hard in some areas because, logistically, I don't really know how to take care of 2 kids logistically in the town. But, because if you can imagine, it would be a little logistically hard. But, as far as, spiritual and life family is concerned, we never had any problems. You always hear all the horror stories, and they train you, in foster care classes. Okay, these kids are, you know, abused. There's a lot of things you have to do to get into the foster care system. You basically have to be really terrible to get your kids put in foster care so your kids are safe, just saying, really bad things to get your kids in foster care. But they always warn us, the kids are going to burn your house down, they're going to do all these terrible things. But we got these boys, and we knew what to do, and God gave us grace. We got a huge family around us, and they thrived. They're doing amazing. Like, every single teacher was like instantly like, this child doesn't even look the same. Like, they gained weight and they did all these things and they did everything. Everything just was like perfect. And you know what? There's no college that could ever have prepared me for like these two boys, Augustine and Nate, to live with us and to for me to be their mom. Like, no college in all of America, all the world could have helped me to help these kids. So just feel really blessed for God's plan for my life and his dreams for my life over my own dreams for my life, because they're so much more fun and they're so much more fulfilling than any other dream that I could have had for my own life, because he is so much more fun and fulfilling. So God connected the dots in our life. So just want to show you a couple pictures of the first year of the boys. Look at how little they were. And like, God also made it perfect. Like, these are my nephew and niece. And David and Nate are only a month apart in age, so it's just perfect. And instantly, like, they work together well. And that was a really big deal to me, because my sister's kids were, like, a part of us. Like, we are, like, one. We are family. And so, like, we're always going to be together no matter what. And if our kids didn't get along, they're just going to have to deal with it. But they got along so well, so perfectly. Look at how little they were. They're so cute. And then there's one more picture of us the first year. Instant family. That was fun. All right, there you go. Cute pictures. So at that time, they weren't necessarily our kids, because they were in the foster care system. And so we were praying and asking God. Everyone at DSS said it was only going to take like 6 months to get these kids adopted, but it took 2 years of intercessory prayer to get them adopted. If you guys are all a part of it, and I'm going to give some advice here at the end of what to do, some to get your dreams fulfilled by God, and that's a part of it. So, but 2 years later, it happened for us. So I'm going to go back a little bit. So something happened in the midst of all this, and it would have been really hard for me to deal with the situation if I wasn't in God's perfect plan. And like 4 months into having the boys, I went to the doctor because I was experiencing a lot of pain. I don't normally share this story very often, but I feel like it's safe to share it here with you guys, and it's okay. So I'm pretty secure with it. But I had like some like baseball size like cyst in my ovaries. For girls, know who that is. Boys, doesn't matter. and I had to have a surgery like really fast because it was really dangerous for them to be there. And then after surgery, like for some reason, there's like a shuffle, and for some reason they told Chad in the surgery, after the surgery, like that I wouldn't be able to have kids. And like, I remember waking up and him telling me that, and I was like really groggy and like a little bit sad, like cried a little. And then I was like, you know what? At least I have Augustine and Nate. God knew, like God knew what I needed in that moment of severe pain for the situation, which it wasn't true necessarily that we couldn't have kids at the time, but for some reason that got communicated wrong to us. But that moment was really hard, like to hear something like that. And we're still totally secure in God's plans for our life. And let me just give a quick disclaimer that I don't think God made me sick. Like, I feel like God, I'm still contending for a healthy body, but I feel like this is God's plans for our life. We are in the center and the flow of God's plans. And I don't feel like Augustine's and Nate's parents should have been bad people, you know what I mean? But it happened to be that they were. And I don't feel like that was God's plan for their life either. But I feel like this is God's plan right now, and that's the way it is. Not that God planned for them to be terrible, didn't plan for me to be sick, but God made it work for right now. And it's beautiful, and it's the way God wants it to be, and I love it. I wouldn't have it any other way. So after that, we contended for their adoption, and I want to show you guys what happened on adoption day because it's so powerful. I have a little video for you of the boys being adopted. I cried the whole way through, so it's just a couple minutes long.
Adoption of Augustine and Luke, and Nate Love Luke, Chad Lee Henderson, and Luther Marie Henderson. We have support to take judicial notice of these termination files on record regarding Augustine and Nate Love Luke's biological parents. In this matter, we filed a petition. The petitioners have had these children throughout the process and had them in their home. we've also received reports from DSS regarding the investigation, which has overwhelmed to approve them for placement.
Look how many people were in the room. It was really sweet. Filled the whole room. You can't hear the lawyer. I wonder if you can hear the judge. If we can't hear the judge, then we'll just stop it.
Two of you raise your right hands and be sworn. You saw the swear of testimony you're about to give the true and correct. You are Chad Lee Henderson.
Yes.
And you are petitioning to adopt this to the young man.
Yes.
You believe you have the wherewithal to support them and keep them?
Yes.
And you're willing to do that?
Yes.
You're willing to grant to them the same right as if they were your natural children as far as inheriting from them?
Yes.
Okay. And let's see, it's Winter Marie.
Mm-hmm.
And you are also petitioning to be the mother of these two women?
Yes.
And by the smile on my face, I can see I want to ask the next question. And you wish that they be able to inherit from you just as if they were your natural children?
Yes.
And you believe that together you and Chad have the wherewithal to support them and raise it? Well, based upon the power granted to you by the state of South Dakota, I'll put the official stamp on what appears to already have happened. Congratulations.
That's what happened. All right. And then you can share the next photo. I just want to show you how many people were in the room with us, celebrating with us. Basically what the judge was saying was like, I cried through it all. I mean, Patty and Dave, you experienced this too, but like, look at how many people were in the room with us. It's like our whole church family was there to celebrate with us. So next week, you women are going to share your birth stories with us and show a video, right? I'm just kidding. All right. So, Shannon. All right, go ahead and turn the lights back on. It was a really powerful day for us. It was very pivotal. I feel like that was like one of the best days of my life, what happened there. And like the judge was saying stuff like, will you take care of these children as if they were your own biological children? Would you take care of them as if they were to inherit your own land and like in all your estate and all your property? And like I was just crying, I was like, yes, and like just thinking about God and how much he loves us and how he wants to do that for us and how he adopted us, and he would have taken 2 years of torture to get us adopted as well. But it was a beautiful day. Cried all the way through it. And that was like how it happened. And we also have big dreams for our life too. We're still looking to the future to get our little girl from China. So that was still part of the package deal, right, Chad? So we Nay calls it the China girl. The boys are totally aware. Her name is China girl. So we're hoping to go to Hong Kong Disney when we're there. We just have big plans and dreams. And I just love to dream. It's that fun little story about my life, guys. I'm just gonna give some quick advice because I have some time. Praise God. That clock's not off, right? It's good. All right. So I'm just going to give some quick advice. If you guys want to write these down, you can. I actually go with our youth group every single year, and we do dreams for our life because I feel like it's so important to have dreams for your life. I feel like that is sometimes we just don't really dream, and we don't really ask God what he wants to do with our life. We don't ask him, like, God, what do you think? What do you think we should do? Like, what do you think we should do together? And like, God has a lot to say about your life if you just ask him. So go ahead and write some stuff down. So the first one is, my first advice to you as we're having coffee together, is live a focused life. Just don't float through life. Like, do things that inspire you. Read books, listen to stories, like Like, I just really love listening to stories about things that inspire me to fulfill God dreams in my life, because I just know, and I love hearing about people's God's dream. It just brings life to me. It brings refreshing to my soul. I just love listening to people talk about what God has done in their life. It's such a great romance story. Just this week, I was listening to Chris Hogan. He's like this like financial guy. He loves Jesus and like dreaming about how I can become a missionary and be financially wealthy, just because that's fun to think about. So just asking God how that can happen so that I can impact the nations without having to worry about the financial side, asking for money. So Romans 8:5, it says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit." So, like, just by saying that scripture, it's like we aren't, like, thinking about these things, like, in a fleshly way that we're going to have dreams for our lives just so that we can feel fulfilled ourselves. But we are partnering with God who wants to fulfill dreams in our life. So we're partnering with God with the Spirit who is God to fulfill dreams for our life. And I encourage you guys as a couple, too, like, if you're married, to come together and talk about the dreams for your life that you have together. Set specific goal dreams, things that you really want to see. Me and Chad have this really crazy dream that we want to have a cruise ship for orphans someday. It's absolutely insane. Don't know where we're going to get the money. Don't know how it's going to happen, but it's going to be awesome. So when it happens, it's going to be awesome, right? So, I mean, just have ridiculous dreams. There's this awesome quote. I really like it. It says, "The ship is safe in the harbor, but it's not what it's made for." So just go out there and fulfill your dreams. That just makes me cry every time. I'm like, ah. Okay. Anyways, all right. Also, like, as you can see from that picture with everybody at our adoption, surround yourself. This is my second piece of advice. Surround yourself with people that inspire you to dream God dreams. There were plenty of people along the way, like during our adoption process, that would say stuff like, "I thought you wanted to have your own kids." And I'm like, okay, I don't think you understand. Like, these are my own kids. Like, they're mine. You know, like, all the adoptive moms in the room are like, amen. Like, it's like, you just don't understand. They're my kids. And your kids are your kids. They're my kids, you know, like, they're mine. So they just didn't really get it. Or like, someone would be like, "Well, they're living with you." I'm like, "But they're foster kids. I really want to see them adopted, like, through the court system, so they become ours, so we don't have to think about that anymore." They'd be like, "But you should just be grateful." I'm like, "You don't understand." So, like, I'd be like, done talking with them about it. Find someone else. And like, no one in this room. Everyone was really encouraging. So just really surround yourself with friends like that. So find a friend that will let you cry and have an encounters with God on their living room floor after life group. Find someone like that. So find like some Breamsies in your life. Or like someone, okay, so this is where the title came from. Melissa, like right before the boys were adopted, like the fall before, or before they came into our care, she sang over us at a conference, like at this like conference over by Lake Byron. And she sang a song in the chorus of the song. She just like prophetically sang over us, "Grace for the Journey." And like, you know, like, we're sitting there crying hysterically. And when your best friends, like, sing "Grace for the Journey" over you, like, that's a good friend. Like, so just find people that will proclaim good things over you, prophesy over you. If someone doesn't understand the dreams that God has put in your heart, if someone doesn't understand, like, hey, like you guys, like, "I'm going to go to Mongolia this week." Feel like if they don't understand that, like, you don't need to, like, throw your pearls to the swine. They don't need to understand why you're doing it. They don't need to know, like, all the details. I can just be like, okay, that's what I'm doing with my life, and like, move on. I'm going to find a friend that cares. So just encourage you need to find people out there. So yeah. Also, like this summer was kind of crazy for me, like, because like two of my really close family friends like moved away. You guys know about that from our church. But like, I could not have done this summer without the people in this room. So like, you just surround yourself with family that cares for you and loves you, and like, have a lot of them. Find as many people. Your life can be very full. Just surround yourself with people that are encouraging and loving. Like, this like month, I've had like maybe 5 people text me and like want to hang out with me, and I'm like, oh, I'm just so grateful, like, for God doing that in my life, because it's really super helpful during hard seasons when friends move away, right? So number 3 is be very specific. Like, if you have, like, this goal, like, let's say even in the natural, you have a goal to lose weight, you wouldn't just say, I want to lose weight. You would say, I want to lose 30 pounds in 6 months. Like, that's a more specific goal. It's a more tangible goal. So, like, if you're going to be like, I just want to lead people to Jesus. No, like, how many people do you want to lead to Jesus? I want to travel the nations. What nations do you want to travel? Like, be very specific. Be like, I want to do this. How old do you want to be by the time you do that? Like, be specific about your goal settings and, like, sometimes you just got to write them down and we watch God do stuff. Like, he just knows what he's doing. And if you didn't ever have that dialogue with God, you wouldn't know what he thinks about it. And it might happen to you. God might still fulfill some dreams in your life, but you wouldn't realize, like, that was a dream. Like, I'm going to adopt kids on my list since I was, like, 18, you know? Like, and when that happened, I'm like, okay, God did that. Like, I know God did that because, like, I can see him doing that. So, also, like, we do this thing in youth group, like I was talking about, we do a 100 dreams for your life. Like, we encourage all the kids to write down 100 dreams that they have for their life. And we put it in categories like physical, spiritual, like, what are you going to do for, like, educational, stuff like that. We set goals. And then sometimes quarterly we do, like, what are 10 dreams do you want God to do this summer in your life? What are 10 things, specific things that you want to see God do this summer? And me and Chad, we do that as well with them. I think it's so important. I love hearing their dreams. I love hearing the things that come out of them. Someone said this once, so if you take a look, if you just take some time to think about this, and so if you were given unlimited resources and unlimited income, which you have in God, you have all unlimited things, and you could just, like, give away whatever you want, you could do whatever you want for other people, what would you do? So if you meditate on that for a while, that's what you're called to do with your life. I really think it's true. Like, whatever you want to do with your life, unlimited income, unlimited resources, if you didn't have any restrictions, anything holding you back, what would you want to do for other people? And that's what you're called to do. So take some time to meditate on that. Some people are like 100 dreams, that's really easy, that's nothing. And then they get started, they get to 10, they're like, I don't know anything else I want to do with my life. And I'm like, what? Keep dreaming. It's hard. You try it. I encourage you to try it. It's really hard. So number four is live in constant communion with the Holy Spirit. Regularly set a time aside to soak and listen to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we come before God, and we're all intercessors in this room. Like, I know these people can pray. Everyone in this room, you guys can pray. But, like, how often do you set a time to soak, to listen to what Holy Spirit's saying to you? He has so much to say. He has so many things he wants to tell you about your future. He wants to prophesy over you himself. Like, he has so much to say about your kids and about what you're doing in your life. He is so good, right, guys? Yeah. Holy Spirit. We should just do that for the rest of the day. That'd be fun. When you're praying and you're soaking, maybe do some, like, spiritual mapping on your life. This is kind of a weird example, but, let's say you don't know, like, for some reason you really like Celtic music, Celtic worship music. Whenever they play Amazing Grace on bagpipes, it just gets you going. Maybe you get, like, you're part Irish. Maybe there's something in your history that causes you to, like, really enjoy certain things, and it has to do with your past. And I'm going to share an example with that, in just a minute. At the end here during my altar call. God is the vine, and we are the branches, and so he's our source, and we can only produce fruit with God. So we got to stay connected to him, stay connected to our source. We can't get away from that. We can do awesome things apart from God, but we can do better things with God. You know what I mean? Because he is so much better. We are nothing without him, and that's just the truth. I know that's true with all my heart. It's like there's nothing like being connected to God. Also, number five is read the word for a plumb line for your life. Read inspiring stories from the Bible. Do you guys know that before David fought Goliath, he had to fight a lion and a bear? So he had to take on the lion and a bear before he hit Goliath. And I just think that's really inspiring. Like, just like these little struggles. Like, I mean, for me, a lion would be a pretty big struggle. But, like, he was, like, used to this kind of warfare even when he was younger. And God prepared him to fight Goliath because God knew David's destiny. I like that stuff. All right, that's my advice for you. And I want to share one more part of the story that kind of connects the dots to everything, just to finish up here. And that's, I did some spiritual mapping on my life, and I kind of figured out why, like, adoption is so in my heart, is so ingrained in me. And a part of the reason is, like, my parents, like, hello, Mom and Dad, if you're listening, I love you. You're good parents in every way, just so you know. so, like, my parents, my dad, he when he was in, like, high school, he had to go live with his aunt and uncle because his home life wasn't super great. And so I never really connected that. He was kind of like an orphan. Like, I never really thought of that, because you don't think your parents are human. Like, because, you know, they're parents, you know, they do life and they take care of you, but they're not, they don't have feelings, you know, right? I know they think that about me, but, like, have feelings. All right, so, and so, like, he was part, like, kind of like an orphan, and I was, like, just thinking about that, meditating, like, wow, like, maybe that's something. And then, like, years ago, I had this scripture on my heart for my mom, and I just shared it with her, and this was the scripture, and I didn't make any correlations to it at the time. And as the scripture is, he predestined us for adoption as his sons and daughters through Christ Jesus our Lord, Ephesians 1:5. So God predestined us through for adoption to be his sons and daughters. And I shared that with my mom, and she started crying, and I was like, okay, that was really good, but why is she crying? Like, because I just thought, I just really wanted to share that. Of course, God told me to share that with her. I really want to share it with her, so I did. And she started crying. She was like, do you understand? Like, I always felt like an orphan. And I was like, what? Why? Like, your parents were awesome. Like, but her parents had died when they were, like my age. Like, when she was, like, 22 and 28, her parents had died. And she felt, like, abandoned. She felt like she was orphaned. And when I shared that scripture with her, she felt like God wanted to adopt her and wanted her to be a part of his family. And that really, like, impacted her. And so I was like, whoa, let me just take a step back here, God. Like, you put all this stuff in my life, my heart for adoption, because you wanted to redeem my parents' story. You wanted to show the world that, like, okay, these people, like, were abandoned, but, like, look what their offspring's doing. They're adopting kids, or they're serving orphans in Ukraine. And I put that in their heart. He's making a redemption story out of the whole process. He connects everything because he's so good. He connects dots from things that happened, you know, 30 years ago. God's connecting dots today, which is amazing, because that's how good he is. He thinks ahead. He has the forethought to think years in advance. He was training us a decade before we even had children in our care, before we were even ready to adopt at all. So he is so good. He is so, like, he wants to romance us. He wants to be a part of our life. He wants to be a part of a redemption story for us. And so, like, if you have, like, a really rough family history, like, God wants you to redeem that family history. But you loving God, you are already setting precedent to redeem your family's history forever. Completely change it forever. So good. Isn't that good? So good. So I just want to pray for us. First of all, I want to pray for people's past history. And I just want to pray for God to redeem that real quick. So if that's you, just go ahead and stand up and just put your hands out like this. If you guys want your past to be redeemed into God's glory. So just go ahead and do that. And then we'll pray for dreams to be awakened. So why don't you just, like, reach over and touch somebody, whoever's standing. Just reach over and touch them, pray for them. Kids, gather around your parents if they're standing. All right. All right, Father, right now I just pray for these ones that are standing, God. I pray, God, for redemption stories, God, to come from them, God. I pray for things that were in their family's past, God, that were horrific things that have tormented their families for years, God, for those things to be broken off, God. Right now, we just say break it off, like, not in this generation anymore. Now we're going to go with redemption. From now on, redemption is going to be the truth of their life, God. We just pray for their history, God. We pray that you would come, you would redeem it, God. Every little detail, Lord Jesus, God. You would set on a new path, God. A new path of freedom and of life in their family. We break off all ties, God. All ties to things that are not of you, of sin and injustices, God. We break them off and we bring your reality to their life right now, God. Your reality to their situations right now. freedom and life restored, God. Redemption in Jesus' name. Amen. That's good. That was effective. Okay, so now if you want to dream big, I just want to pray for you as well, and then we'll end here, okay? So if that's you, is that probably everybody in the room wants to dream big? So reach over and grab someone, hug someone tight, and we're going to pray for our dreams to be fulfilled. So God, right now I just pray for everybody's dreams in this room right now, God. I just pray that their dreams would be completely fulfilled by you, God. I pray for the things that they're not even thinking of, the things that you have placed desires inside for them to do that is like the most exciting thing for them, God. I pray that you would place that into them, God. I pray for those things to start to come into alignment, Lord Jesus, God. Come into their future, Lord Jesus. I pray for dreams to come alive in them, God. We pray that nothing would be held back on these people in this room, Lord Jesus. I pray you do amazing things. I pray that nations will be impacted by these dreams and there would be great glory proclaimed to your name through all these dreams in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you for listening, everybody. That was really fun.